I would invite you to turn with me this morning to Matthew's gospel record of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, Matthew chapter 28, as we'll read together the first 10 verses and considering in a particular way verses 5 through 7. And many of us have heard countless messages on the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and no doubt this is nothing new, but again, a message that we long to hear, that we want to hear, a message that fills us with such hope. Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 1, as we once again give our attention to this, the Word of God. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." May God richly bless us with his word this morning. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, on this Easter Sunday, we call it Easter Sunday, and obviously, because of that, we celebrate the resurrection of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. But I trust that we understand, each and every one of us, that the truth is every single Lord's Day, every Sunday is and is to be a celebration of the risen and living Savior. Because apart from that, without that, we would have absolutely no reason to gather. We would be wasting our time. But indeed, that resurrection is the specific focus, our specific focus on this day, and no doubt we trust it is the focus of the church throughout the world as the message that he arose has been, is, and we trust will continue to be proclaimed throughout this day from countless pulpits in many languages to congregations, both large and small. And we know, of course, again, that it's been this way for centuries, for almost 2,000 years, the resurrection of Jesus Christ has been proclaimed to young and old alike, who never tire of hearing this message because of what he did for you and me through his death and his resurrection. However, boys and girls, it hasn't always been this way. There was that one Easter morning, they didn't call it Easter then. There was that first Easter morning where there was no preacher on a formal pulpit in front of a large congregation. People gathered together because of the joy that we sense even as we wake to a day like this. But with the text before us, beloved, God's Word gives us the very first Easter sermon, proclaimed by the heavenly messenger, proclaimed with the heavenly message, proclaimed for the heavenly mandate. First of all, proclaimed by the heavenly messenger. Well, who was the preacher? Well, again, children, we know, don't we? In verse 5, we read, "The angel said to the women." It was an angel. And we know quite a bit about angels from Scripture. Angels are ministering spirits who dwell around the very throne of Almighty God in heaven. Angels are heralds of God who do the will of God. We read of angels who appeared to certain people in the Old Testament in the form of men, of course, but they appeared, for example, to Abraham and to Lot and to Gideon and to many others. And we also read of them that appeared in the New Testament. For example, Gabriel himself appeared to Zechariah, announcing the birth of John the Baptist. And Gabriel then also appeared to Mary, the mother of Jesus, to announce his birth. We read that Joseph, the husband of Mary, a couple of times in dreams, angels appeared to him. We know that angels appeared to the shepherds on the hillside to announce the birth of Jesus. Jesus, we know, was comforted, was ministered to by angels right after he faced the temptations of the devil. And we also know that later, at the time of the ascension of the Lord Jesus, angels were present again. And in Scripture, each and every time the appearance of an angel or angels from heaven is recorded, they have come for the very same purpose. They have come to execute and to carry out the will of God. They came to proclaim the very word of God, to say what God told them to say. We see that, I believe, in Luke chapter 1, verse 19, when Gabriel came to Zechariah. We read there, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news." And the same thing is true on this first Easter morning. The angel came to bring the message of God the Father in heaven. The angel didn't come, and of course some say that there were more than one angel as well, but the angel that preached here did not come on his own initiative, but indeed, as Scripture says, he was an angel of the Lord, belonging to the Lord God Almighty, one sent by God with God's message, one who had come with the glory of heaven, and that glory of heaven was felt in the earthquake. Now, many might call that just a natural phenomenon. But here, clearly, this earthquake demonstrated the power of God, and that earthquake was part of the accomplishing of his purpose. For example, just like on the night that Jesus died, in Matthew 27, beginning at verse 50, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised." And now here, verse 2, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it." This earthquake, and then ultimately the appearance of the angel, caused the guards to shake. And as theologian Daniel Doriani in his commentary says, and I believe pun intended, he says Matthew is telling us that the resurrection was an earth-shaking event. And beloved, the truth is the resurrection ought to get the attention of all people, every single person in the world, and it ought to shake them out of their sinful stupor. The angel came with power demonstrated in the earthquake, but he also came with the appearance of heavenly glory. Verse 3, "His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow." The angel's appearance gave a glimpse of the glory and the splendor of the one who sent him, of the glory and the splendor of God the Father, who through the angel came, secondly then, with a heavenly message, to proclaim a heavenly message. But again, notice, to proclaim this message to a small congregation. Now, boys and girls, we might think that such a wonderful, awesome message would have been preached to as many people as possible, to a megachurch, thousands upon thousands, with standing room only. But that wasn't the case on this first Easter Sunday morning, as the angel's congregation was only a few women, not even the 12 disciples, or by this time the 11 remaining disciples, not even the inner circle of Jesus' closest friends, Peter, James, and John. Verse 1, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb." Now, if we were to compare all four gospel resurrection accounts, we would also see that there were also a few other women there. And in addition, that John tells us that when Mary Magdalene saw the stone rolled away, she jumped to a conclusion that the body of Jesus had been stolen, and without going any further, she ran to find Peter and John. So it seems that the small congregation was made up of the other Mary and a few women. But notice with this heavenly message, it was delivered with quite a sermon introduction. The angel greets them with, "Do not be afraid." We might think, really? Seriously? Do not be afraid? I mean, most likely they felt the earthquake to begin with. I mean, those of us who have lived in areas where there are earthquakes, we know that the shock of it can be felt for a few hundred miles from the epicenter. It was a great earthquake. And then they come to the tomb and they find the stone not only rolled away, but they find a man whose appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow sitting on that stone. And maybe, we don't know when the guards came to, but maybe the guards were still lying around looking like they were dead men. But who knows what these women were thinking? Who knows what was racing through their minds? And they hear, "Do not be afraid." But you see, beloved, there was a heavenly message in what the women saw, even before one word was said. As the angel sat on that stone that had been rolled away, that was a sign of victory. And just seeing the open tomb was a loud and clear message that Christ was risen, that death and the grave had been conquered. And no one, absolutely no one, was going to roll that stone back. The women had absolutely no reason to be afraid, at least not like the guards. Oh, the guards. The guards were struck with such terror, they were paralyzed with fear. Verse 4 again, "And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men." But you know what? The guards should have been afraid. The guards should have been scared stiff, because on the one hand, because of the consequences that they were going to face for failing at a job, at their job, to guard a dead man's body. I mean, how hard can that be? But even more important, on the other hand, they should have been afraid because they didn't believe in Jesus. They did not believe in Jesus. And the chief priests and the Pharisees, who we are told at the end of the previous chapter, went to Pilate to ask for the guards because they remembered the words of Jesus when he said he was going to rise again after 3 days. They too should have been terrified to see the stone rolled away, to see the empty tomb, because they too didn't believe in Jesus Christ. They were not a part of his flock. They were not a part of his church. And by his resurrection, he proved that he was telling the truth all along, but they did not believe it. Anyone who does not believe in the truth of the resurrected and living Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for sin, ought to be extremely terrified. And it's only this Jesus who was able to take that terror away. But these women, they didn't need to be afraid, because the angel knew them. The angel knew exactly why they came, even if they did not yet understand perfectly all these things, even if they did not yet believe the word of Jesus when he said he would rise again, yet the angel knew that they loved him. The angel knew that they were faithful believers in him, and the angel says in verse 5, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified." Yes, he was crucified. He was dead. He had been buried. He suffered the death of desperate criminals, yet the love of these women for him did not fail. Even though others were turned off by him hanging on the cross and said, as we read in chapter 27, verse 42, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him." For these women, the fact that he was crucified did not cause them to change their minds with regard to who he was and who he is. The angel knew that they were loyal friends of Jesus. And the angel brings that heavenly message with the most glorious words of salvation. Verse 6, "He is not here." Why? for he has risen. Beloved, that is the message of the gospel. That is the message of salvation. Jesus lives. The angel preached this so briefly, so simply, and notice the angel doesn't go into any detail, neither none of the gospel records do, but doesn't go into any detail of the resurrection itself. And we're not to speculate how it happened, because the message of God is not how it happened, but that it happened. He is not here, for he has risen. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? You see, we need to understand the significance of those words. We gather together each and every Sunday because of this resurrection event. Today, too, on that day we call Easter Sunday. This is why we gather. The church exists only because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We live day by day in the joy of Easter. Children, young people, your parents strive to bring you up in a Christian home and in the way of the Lord throughout all of life, and to bring you up in with the life of the church, all because of the resurrection of Jesus and what that means for you and me. You see, when God raised his son from the dead, we can say rightly that he was putting his seal of approval on the work that Christ did. Again, we know Christ said, "It is finished." At the end of that deep darkness, when he knew that he had suffered the full wrath of God against sin, when he had made the full and complete payment for sin, when he knew that it was sufficient, when it was perfect, he said, "It is finished." And in essence, when God raised him from the dead, that was a loud cry, "It is enough. I am satisfied." As Paul says in Romans 4, in verse 24, he says, "To us who believe in him, in God, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, then of Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses." Again, he went to the cross because of our sin, and he was raised for our justification. Why? Because it is enough. It is done. Sins are paid for. There is forgiveness. And there is perfect righteousness. Again, our sin needed a payment, not by us, only by Jesus. He made satisfaction for each and every last one of the elect of God. And the open tomb and the angel sitting on that stone was a message, a clear message that the payment for our sinful debt had been made in full. It had been accepted by God. Indeed, this heavenly message, we could say, was missed before. Even though Jesus spoke a number of times that he would rise again, even before he was crucified, yet the angel simply reminds these women, as he said. Jesus said that this would happen. Christ's resurrection from the dead was and is proof that he is who he claimed to be. Paul points that out also already in Romans 1, verse 4. He says, of Jesus, "And was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead." Jesus Christ, our Lord. He was declared by his resurrection to be the Son of God, to be God himself. The angel doesn't curse nor even reprimand these women for their seeming unbelief and their forgetfulness. Instead, he gives them a gentle reminder. "Don't you remember? Jesus told you." These women and his disciples, and of course we can cut them a little slack because we know that they've been through a terrifying situation, circumstance. But these women and the disciples seem to forget Jesus saying this. However, again, remember that the chief priests and the Pharisees, they didn't forget. They remembered Jesus' prediction. And therefore, they had the tomb sealed with an official seal that simply said, "Boys and girls, do not enter." It was like police tape. You don't cross that police tape. They had guards posted to make sure that no one would steal the body. Yet, beloved, all of these man-made precautions, the stone, the seal, the guards were easily swept away simply by the finger of Almighty God. A demonstration of the Almighty God laughing at the kings of the earth and the rulers who take counsel against them. Psalm 2, verse 4, he who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. And then the angel invites the women to witness the empty tomb, to see that the house of death was now empty. Verse 6, come, see the place where he lay. Because it was important for them to see that Jesus had been there, but that he no longer was there. And John gives us another detail. He tells us that they saw the grave clothes of Jesus there neatly folded. And again, we know that the angel didn't roll the stone away, boys and girls, so that Jesus could get out. Jesus got out without the stone being rolled away. The angel rolled away the stone so that these women and his disciples could get in and to see. But no one actually saw Jesus rise from the dead. God did not give that privilege to anyone. This heavenly message needed to be believed by faith, and it still needs to be believed by faith. On the one hand, we could say that the angel's words should have been enough for the women, but he allowed them to take a look themselves. Come, see for yourselves that the house of death is empty. We profess in the Apostles' Creed that we believe the resurrection of the body. We believe that one day our bodies will be raised from the grave and made like unto Christ's glorified body. We believe that, of course, because of Christ's resurrected body. We know that there have been many throughout the history of this world, throughout the history of the church, even many in the evangelical church, that said and still say that the bodily resurrection of Jesus is they reject the bodily resurrection of Jesus. And of course, science says that something like this is absolutely impossible. And many of these same, even in the evangelical church, say, well, it doesn't matter if he rose again. That fact does not matter. Just believe, they say, just believe that Jesus died for you. Just believe that he's your Savior. The rest doesn't matter, they say. How dangerous, because if Jesus didn't actually physically rise from the dead, there is no gospel message. There is no good news, which we all desperately need. If the literal physical resurrection of Christ isn't true, there is no salvation. And we have no hope. And the serpent's head isn't crushed. But the truth of the gospel, beloved, is that Jesus Christ did conquer death and the grave when he rose again. The truth of the gospel is that by his resurrection, he bridged the gap that separated us from God. He opened the gates of heaven for you and me, and the death that the first Adam brought has been conquered by the second Adam, Jesus, who brings us life. He reconciled us with God, bringing us back into God's favor and giving all those who believe in him eternal life, so that as believers, we do have hope. We have a guarantee. You see, what you and I believe concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ is very simply a matter of life or death. Paul wrote that the whole of the Christian faith and the whole of salvation stands or falls with the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 17, he says, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. And then we are wasting our time on this very morning. This first Easter sermon, beloved, was proclaimed by heaven. It was God's own announcement. And the theme of that sermon, Jesus Christ is not here. He is risen. And it was necessary for this small congregation of women that they believe this. Why? Thirdly, then, for the heavenly mandate that had been given to them. Verse 7, Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. You see, it depended on belief, believing it. Because the task that was given to them was go and tell, go and spread the gospel message, first of all, to the men who were closest to Jesus, who needed to hear it, and then they were to take it to the nations. And it was a message, beloved, that couldn't wait and shouldn't wait. Go quickly and tell. And the bonus is that they will see Jesus in Galilee, which again should be wonderful news to and for the disciples, because it's an exact echo of what Jesus had already said in Matthew 26, verse 32, where we read this. Jesus says, "But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." And notice to the conclusion of this sermon, the angel said, "See, I have told you." Doesn't seem like much, but I believe we ought to understand it this way. It's as if to say, I have carried out the will of him who sent me. I have told you the truth, and that is the blessed assurance for us all. Heaven, Almighty God can and will and does only tell the truth, and that means that this first Easter sermon is the gospel truth. The angel carried out his mandate, and now it's time for believers to carry out theirs. The resurrection of Jesus Christ on that first was the first Easter sermon proclaimed to that small congregation, but it's the very same message that has filled the celebration of Easter ever since. It's a message that never ends. Yet it is, and it ought to be, in a sense, new and fresh every year to each and every one of us, a message which we cling to throughout the year. So may we never tire, beloved, of hearing this message, because we know that this is the very message of life for those who are in Christ Jesus. It is the message of the Great Commission that we are to continue to take to the ends of the earth, and we are to begin, and beginning in our own homes, as parents promise to train and nurture their children into the fear of the Lord. But it's also that message that we encourage each other with as believers each and every Lord's Day. By the simple fact that we gather together, you see, because we do it, why? Because of our resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, and through our worship, through our singing of the redeeming love of God, through our prayers, through our very presence. What a message to encourage each other that Jesus Christ lives, because that's why we're here. It's not a waste of time. Our Lord Jesus Christ tore down the wall of separation between his people and his Father. He has fully paid our penalty for sin. He has reconciled us with our Heavenly Father. And through him, beloved, we are adopted sons and daughters of God. Very simply, we have salvation. Christ's resurrection changed the world. Christ's resurrection changed our very lives. And beloved, we exist today not first of all to simply go about the tasks and duties that our God has given to us, but to go about our tasks and duties with a purpose. To go about our tasks and duties in such a way that we promote the truth that Jesus lives. And we are called to live and to speak that truth and to do it quickly. We don't know when our Lord Jesus is coming again. We don't know when God has ordained that last breath for any person living at this moment. Go quickly and tell. If you are here this morning and you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, we often hear that there are many people who claim to be Christians, but they only go to church on Easter and Christmas. If that happens to be you this morning and you don't believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, then please understand, you don't believe the gospel. You don't believe the good news of Jesus Christ. And you don't believe the gift of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone. And that is horribly dangerous for you, because the bad news of your sin is very, very, very real. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no gospel, as we have said. There is no salvation, but you have heard the heavenly Easter message and you are called to repent of your sins. and to believe in the resurrected Christ. His resurrection, which means the defeat of Satan, the defeat of all who reject him, which means eternal death in hell. Well, the guards looked like dead men, but those who reject Christ will forever be dead men and women, always dying in eternal punishment. But for those who believe in the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, beloved, Easter gets richer in meaning as time goes on. Because death and the grave have lost its sting. And instead of living worried about death, worried about when I'm going to die and how I'm going to die, you and I can live confidently awaiting the day when our faith becomes sight. Beloved, the heavenly Easter message was and is and ever shall be the truth and only the truth. The empty tomb clearly says the resurrection is a fact. If Christ's work was not perfect, it would not have been approved. It would not have been accepted by God the Father. But our faith and our salvation rests on this fact. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father in heaven, what a blessing it is to be able to call you our Father. We know that it is only because of the work of Jesus. It is only because he gave himself all the way to death, paying for our sin, and that he was raised to life. He took his life up again. And Father, because he lives and reigns today, that he intercedes for us, that he will come again for his people, for each and every one, and to judge the living and the dead. Thank you, Father, for this glorious message. We pray that this truth may go forth through all the earth and that many may hear the blessed message of life eternal in Jesus Christ our Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen.